ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Chant chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Page 63 in Swamiji's book. Sanjaya uvacha, tam tata kripaya vishtam, अश्रुपूर्णाकुलेक्षणम् विशीदन्तमिदं वाक्यम् उवाच मधुसूदनः संजय उवाच तं तथा कृपयाविष्टम् अश्रुपूर्णाकुलेक्षणम् विशीदन्तमिदं वाक्यम् उवाच मधुसूदनः श्रीभगवानुवाच कुतस्त्वाकश्मलमिदं विषमे समुपस्थितम् अनार्यजुष्टमस्वर्ग्यम् अकीर्तिकरमर्जुन श्रीभगवानुवाच कुतस्त्वाकश्मलमिदं विषमे समुपस्थितम् अनार्यजुष्टमस्वर्ग्यम् अकीर्तिकरमर्जुन क्लैभ्यं मास्मगमप्पार्थ नैतद्वैयुपपद्यते क्षुद्रं हृदय दौर्बल्यं त्यक्त्वोत्तिष्ठ परन्तप क्लैभ्यं मास्मगमप्पार्थ नैतद्वैयुपपद्यते क्षुद्रं हृदय दौर्बल्यं त्यक्त्वोत्तिष्ठ परन्तप अर्जुन उवाच कथं भीष्ममहं संख्ये द्रोणं च मधुसूदन इषुभिः प्रतियोत्स्यामि पूजार्हावरिसूदन अर्जुन उवाच कथं भीष्ममहं संख्ये द्रोणं च मधुसूदन इषुभिः प्रतियोत्स्यामि पूजार्हावरिसूदन गुरुनहत्वा हि महानुभावान् श्रेयो भोक्तुं वैक्ष्यमपीह लोके हत्वार्थकामांस्तु गुरुनिहैव भुञ्जीय भोगान् रुधिरप्रदिग्धाम् गुरुनहत्वा हि महानुभावान् श्रेयो भोक्तुं वैक्ष्यमपीह लोके हत्वार्थकामांस्तु गुरुनिहैव भुञ्जीय भोगान् रुधिरप्रदिग्धाम्। To Arjuna, who became silent, who became incapacitated to act. Here when he says to in verse number 1, chapter 2, Sanjaya is speaking, the charioteer of Dhritarashtra. He says, to him who was thus overcome with pity, Kripaya Avishtam, whose eyes were filled with tears, who was mentally and physically affected. The mental disturbance has further caused his physical imbalance or incapacitation to work. When our mind is disturbed, it affects the action. It affects our thinking and it further affects our action. So who was agitated and despondent, Madhusudana spoke these words. When Arjuna became silent, Arjuna had not become silent from inside. We need to understand that. A lot of times in life, we also get angry with people. Like, we can get angry with our husband, our wife, our children, or the neighborhood, and then we'll stop talking. What is happening is, physically that person has become silent, but mentally that person is extremely agitated. That's not silent. Such a person is not ready to receive knowledge. When a person is mentally silent, he becomes a listener. Here Arjuna has not become listener now. So Gita cannot start. He had exhausted all that he had to say. All his so-called reasons and logics, he has exhausted. He tried to convince Krishna. He tried to put forth his argument as to why he thinks that he should leave the battle and not stand up and fight there. Having said that, with so much of mental agitations, he threw away his gandiva, his bow, his arrows, became silent. To such a person who was mentally disturbed, agitated, Madhusudana spoke these words, says Sanjaya. Now when Madhusudana spoke these words, it is not as though Gita is going to begin, because Krishna, being Jagat Guru, clearly understands that Arjuna is still not ready to receive the knowledge. So he cannot obviously start the Gita. So what is he doing then? He is just going to whip up Arjuna. In the sense, when a bullock stops and refuses to move, what does the driver do? He will whip up the bullock. The horse rider will whip the horse so that the horse will move. Right? Exactly like that. Tamasic people, people who are extremely indolent, lazy, lethargic, whose mind has perverted thinking because of which they have become incapacitated to act, for them logic, reason doesn't work. Little bit when they move from tamas to rajas. Tamas is coming to wrong conclusions but deeply believing that it is the right conclusion. In the 18th chapter, Lord Krishna talks about sattvic intellect, rajasic intellect and tamasic intellect. He says, tamasic intellect is that which understands wrong as right and right as wrong. Okay. This is tamasic intellect, perverted intellect. It understands attachment as love, love as attachment. It understands weak pity as compassion and compassion as weak pity. Without thinking. This is tamasic intellect. Wrong conclusions, stubbornness, not being open. Rajasic intellect is that which understands righteousness and unrighteousness wrongly. There is a sort of confusion. Sometimes you think this is right, sometimes you think that is right. When a person is in a kind of a dilemma, doubt, sattvic intellect is that which understands right and wrong correctly. It's determined but open. In the case of tamas, it is stubborn and not open. Okay. Now Arjuna had concluded that the right thing to do in the context is he should not fight. But he has tamasic intellect. He hasn't come into doubt. Doubts are better from that point of view. Because when a person is in doubt, it is then he goes to the higher intellect, seeks help. When a person is very sure, he is not going to ask anybody. Right? So, such people who are engrossed in tamas and inactivity cannot be given lecture, they need to be whipped. So Lord Krishna here is trying to whip Arjuna with his words. He is trying to sting him. Because only that will push them out of that tamas. So now in verse number 2 and 3, Krishna speaks in the second chapter, but Gita doesn't begin here. Actual Gita begins in verse number 11, chapter 2. That is because after a certain element of doubt that Arjuna develops in verse number 6, he surrenders in verse number 7. Only after he surrenders, only after the Sharanagati happens, then he is announced himself available to listen. So when a Shishya is ready, then Krishna takes up the role of Guru. Okay. So we'll chant verse number 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kutastva Kashmalamidam, Kutastva Kashmalamidam, Vishame Samupastitam, Vishame Samupastitam, Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam, Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam, Akirtikaram Arjuna, Akirtikaram Arjuna, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kutastva Kashmalamidam, Vishame Samupastitam, Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam, Akirtikaram Arjuna. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Blessed Lord said, whence has this dejection come upon you in a crisis? Unworthy of an Aryan, attaining neither heaven nor fame, O Arjuna. The verse is not complete, it continues. He says, Arjuna, from where have you got this dejection? Kuta. Suddenly in a crisis situation. When the house is on fire, it is then you need to be more alert. Usually what all of us think is, obviously, you know, his house is on fire, so he's disturbed. We kind of try to justify that by saying, because of that external calamity that he is facing in life, he is mentally disturbed. It's accepted. Normal. It's not normal. When somebody is facing a calamity, that is when he need to be much more alert, strong. So whence has this dejection come upon you in a crisis? Kashmala means mental impurity. It's a low thinking, lack of clarity, losing the ability to think. How can you lose the ability to think in a crisis? You can never afford to lose your ability to think, and definitely not when the house is on fire. And when somebody is happily sitting, happily sleeping, when the house is on fire, when you go to him and say, "Excuse me, I would like to take your permission, sorry for disturbing you, I have to tell you that your house is on fire," are you going to be speaking in those language, those words? You will say, "Arey, are you an idiot? Get up!" You will shake him up. You are not going to be speaking politely there, right? This is exactly what Krishna is doing. This fellow, in a crisis moment, has decided that the right thing in the context is to leave the battle. So he says, Vishama means wrong place, wrong time. In wrong place, wrong time, you've decided to switch off your thinking. Many times when you're flying, the pilots face some situation where he might not get any help from the ground, because this is not working, that system is not working, and he had to take decisions. He's lost signals and help. If he himself is perturbed, what will happen? Many times we hear that due to the pilot's intelligent decisions at the right time, people were saved. Isn't it? So here, even though Arjuna is not the commander-in-chief of Pandava army, it is like Dhoni being the captain of Indian team and Tendulkar is sitting and crying, "How am I going to face the English bowlers?" It cannot happen like that, right? So here Arjuna is looked upon. So he's saying, in a wrong place and wrong time, you've chosen to relax your heels when it is very much needed. When in fact you need to double up. So he says, this is an Arya. Arya means an upright person, a straightforward person, a cultured human being, noble person. That's what it means. A lot of people misunderstand it with Arya, who came from Iran and Dravidians, especially, you know, in South India, especially in Tamil Nadu. They use these things very often and then they split people's mind, you know. So, here Arya means an upright, straightforward, cultured, strong human being, noble person. So this is an Arya, man. An Arya Jushtam. Aswargyam. You will not get heaven. You think what you are doing is going to give you heaven because you are doing the right thing. This will not get you heaven. Arjuna might say, "I am not interested in heaven, which comes later on. At least in this world, people will think that I left the battlefield because I didn't want to kill people. So I'll get some fame." So immediately he says, "Akirti karam Arjuna." You will neither get fame, kirti. And to a person whose rajasic kirti matters a lot. For a sattvic person, kirti doesn't matter. For a rajasic person, a kshatriya like Arjuna, it matters to him. Because if you think about it many times, whatever we achieve, when you win a medal or something, when people are clapping hands and people reward you for that because you have done something great, there are people who will sit and sigh and say, oh, they become jealous of you. Indirectly you get pleasure from them. Unless you have moved to a higher realm of living in life, these things excite you. See, a sattvic person, he is not bothered if somebody is clapping, not clapping, he just continues to do what he is supposed to do. But when you are in the rajasic state of mind, all these things matter to you. That's why in between, in the first chapter itself, Arjuna said, what is the use of all this victory and enjoyments and everything when all my people have died? With whom will I glorify that? Who will be there to look at it? So if my own people will not put me up in the higher pedestal and look at me, then it is something that will provoke me to think, rethink rather. In the case of a Kshatriya. So Krishna wants Arjuna to rethink here, recast his thinking. Every Tuesday we are meeting here and studying the Gita, and I tell you that you should study every day also, not just once a week. And you do these things, you pull yourself from your other routine thing that you do, which may be sleeping in the morning, slightly sacrifice your sleep and get up and sit down and study. Why are you supposed to do all these things? You are supposed to do all these things to recast your thinking. The problem today, we believe, is the world. But the problem is not the world, but how we contact the world. And our contact is supported by our belief system and our thinking. Without proper thinking or no thinking, we have developed a belief system. And that belief system makes us see things differently. Therefore, we get agitated. Isn't it? And so many beliefs like that has taken root in us. Today, we think it is not correct to even question them. So, Lord Krishna wants to recast, or wants Arjuna to understand that he needs to recast his thinking and come out straight. So he is telling Arjuna, Arjuna, speak up, you are a straightforward person. You have always been behaving like an Arya. Now suddenly you are behaving differently. Even if you had a problem, he will straight away tell what is the problem. An actual problem Arjuna has is, though he says, my relatives are standing, my grandfathers are standing, actual problem is, he has Bhishma Drona on that side. His own guru. So, instead of straight away coming to the point, he is beating around the bush. Because he's using words like sin alone will accrue by killing these desperados. On one hand he says they are desperados. On the other hand he says if we kill those desperados, we will develop sin, we will gain sin. These things don't go together. So why don't you tell straightly, this is my problem. I'm interested in wealth, but then I have to go to work every day, I have to take right decisions, and I have to travel 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening by road. So I am not able to face this scenario. We have to come out straight. Instead of that, well, I'm not interested in wealth, I'm not interested in money. This is nonsense. He's very much interested in wealth. He's very much interested in all the enjoyments that come from the wealth. But he's just facing some difficulty. Therefore, he's saying, I'm not interested. Something like that Arjuna was talking. So instead of coming straight, he's beating around the bush. So Krishna is beating him and saying, what are you doing? This mental impurity, this weakness, this pity. You are thinking that you have compassion, What you are having is pity. That is why if you have compassion, how can you fall into dejection? Compassion is a nobler quality. No noble quality will push you into dejection. Isn't it? Anything higher will not push you into dejection and despondent condition. The fact that you are dejected mentally clearly shows what you think is compassion is actually not compassion. So why don't you recast your thinking? This is what he is saying basically. In a wrong place, wrong time, you are trying to do something. It's inappropriate. Lot of times what we do is, in fact, I remember this. In the Middle East, when I was connecting the Gita classes in the initial days, when I went there, the classes were happening from night 8:30 to 10. Okay. Because people work there, government offices work from 7 to 3, private companies from 8 to 1, and then again 4 to 7 level. So, by the time they come home, I said, let's have class at 8:30 only. Can you imagine Gita class? We have from 8:30 to 10 after their day long work. And in the Middle East, because of the heat, every building mostly is air conditioned. 100% almost. Many of them are centrally air conditioned. And because the class is from 8:30 to 10 and people have had a long day, they used to have the dinner and come and sit in the class. How conducive is the time for the study, however interested you are? Then slowly, you know, we try to change the time, and then we were successful, we changed it. At the same time, it should suit everybody, you know, because they're genuinely interested. So then we shifted to Thursday early morning. Initially people thought they will not be able to make it. Everybody came, in fact few more people came. And the very study was, they themselves said, we really find it more conducive and beneficial when we do it in the morning than late night. So, when you have to wish somebody on their birthday, you should appropriately at the right time wish them. No point wishing them after 2-3 months. Right? Things, what has to be done at the right time and place, in the right way. Otherwise it loses its value, significance, its meaning. It has no meaning. After a person is dead and gone, now you are sitting and mentally thinking, oh, I should have told him, I should have said him this, I should have said thanks for this, thanks for that. It doesn't work. When a person is alive, we have no time to talk to him. Elderly people, all they want is few words spoken to them every day. But then, when our passion is at its peak when we are young, we are running after things, chasing things. We have no time to sit and talk to them. Then after they are dead and gone, you sit and cry, keeping their photograph. Does it make any sense? When a person is alive, you should try to bring cheer in their faces, on their faces. Huh? Whatever little we can do, we should do. And whatever tradition that you must uphold after the person is dead and gone, you please uphold the tradition. I'm not saying you should not. But then what is the use if you have not found some time to spend with them when they needed it? Somebody has been coming, knocking at your door for help in a particular situation when they needed help. Let's say some cancer patient or somebody has been knocking at your door for help. All the time you were so busy you could not even meet them. They somehow managed the funds and they got them treated. Treatment could have succeeded in helping them, the patient, or the patient might could have died. After some time, okay, you've been calling me, now come over, I have some time. Will it be of any use? Don't we behave like this many times? We have no time. Not that we want to be disrespectful. We are preoccupied in our own world. So here Krishna is telling Arjuna, Vishame Samuprasthi. What are you trying to do in a wrong place and wrong time? You are doing things wrongly. If you decided that the right thing to do is to be in Himalayas, you wouldn't have even come to the battlefield. Now, having come, sitting here, you're behaving like this. If you are a married person, grahastha, you must behave like a grahastha, not like a sannyasi. A sannyasi should not be behaving like a grahastha. Isn't it? It is laughable if you find an adult playing with toys. But it is okay for a child to be playing with toys. Isn't it? What is acceptable for the child is not acceptable for the adult. Adult should function with responsibility, proactively. Instead of being proactive in the context, you are saying, I will remain inactive. This is what all these are implied. So he's saying, when has this dejection come upon you in a crisis, Arjuna? This is anarya. If you are in difficulty and you go to a doctor or a lawyer, you are supposed to tell exactly what your difficulty is, then they can help you. If you go there and then try to justify what you are doing, you have taken some medicine. So you just go to the doctor and say, sir, I found this was the problem, so I have taken this medicine, I just came to inform you. Will it be of any help to you? Arjuna is not only having a problem, but he doesn't realize that he doesn't know what to do in the context. Instead, he is trying to administer some medicine, which he thinks in the context is to leave the battle. This is what many of us do. Some of us go to the doctor and tell the doctor what he should prescribe to us. Because nowadays the rules have become so strict, without prescription I don't get these medicines. A lot of people I know, they suffer from insomnia, they're not able to sleep. They go to the doctor and say, doctor, give me this medicine, that medicine, prescription. You probably don't need them. Don't even realize. Once you go to the doctor, you must surrender. So Arjuna is not only suffering from a problem, but on the contrary, he thinks that he knows how to solve it. Many of us suffer from this disease, isn't it? For this disease, there is no cure. Because you are not asking. you must surrender in the area of ignorance. And in life it is impossible to gain knowledge in every field. You have spent some time and effort in a particular field, you can gain knowledge. Even in that particular field, in spite of you spending so much time, you cannot gain all the knowledge pertaining to that field. There will always be so many things that you do not know. Right? So in the area of ignorance, you must learn to surrender. If not, even though you may not have Lord Krishna sitting next to you to whip you, nature will create situation to whip you. Nature will not allow a person to be in inactivity for long. So much of nonsense we've been doing, destroying the whole earth, polluting it left, right and center. And all sorts of things happen. Tsunami happens, this happens, that happens. 10 people wake up. Now they do research and then they come out with saying, ecological disturbance, we cannot afford to do this, does that, that. So make sure that we live like this. Now we understand that if we as Indians do something wrong, it can affect America. If Americans do something wrong, it can affect India. It's a global village. Right? Sitting here and there, we need to help each other, we need to live together. All these things, now from where is it coming? So take this up like this. Don't expect that Lord Krishna or somebody to come and whip you in life. The situations that you are put in life are coming from nature as a whip. This, you know, Lord Vishnu has four hands, and in one hand he has shank, the conch. In the other hand he has padma, lotus. In one hand he has gada, mace. Another hand he has chakra, the wheel. Every individual's original nature is atma, self, peace. And that is our goal. That is what we are trying to attain, either consciously or unconsciously. That is what is being shown significantly with a lotus. That's what the lotus represents in the context. Now, if you want to go to the peace within, you must follow your conscience and convictions. The shank, if you don't abide by the law, dharma, if there is a dharma of a student, there is dharma of a teacher, in a particular situation, as per the role you play, there is dharma. In the body, our brain has a particular dharma. Kidney has a particular dharma. Lungs have a particular dharma. Each part should do what it is supposed to do. When we go against the law of nature, then there will be conscience speaking from within, the conch. From inside, something is telling you what you're doing is wrong. Conscience is speaking you. You don't listen to that also, then Vishnu will strike you with his mace, the difficulties, some crisis, this and that. If you ever notice, when there is a crisis, suddenly we all get united. All of us get together and go to this, what is this place? Central Delhi?
India Gate.
With a candle and all that. Right? I mean, it's fine. It's good. But then the point is, crisis brings us together. So Vishnu strikes us with the mace. the maze, the ups and downs of life. Then also, if you still continue, then he also loses patience. He becomes extremely impatient and then releases the disc, the chakra, which is the total destruction of the personality. Why I am mentioning this in the context here is, the crisis is brought about by our stupidity. In fact, many of the stress scenarios, situations are brought about because of our stupidity. Like, you know that you have to pay the telephone bill, mobile bill, before this date. Maximum they will keep it on for another 5 days or whatever. That also with a fine. Same thing with electricity bill and all these things. We know this. And it is not as though we do not have money. But then we keep on postponing. Chalo, kal karenge, kal karenge, kal karenge. Parson karenge. Then suddenly last minute when you need it most, the disconnect and then you get stressed. No? Because that's the day probably you needed the mobile phone very much. And it's not working. Who created it? We. You know, some of the things that we learn from Swamiji from the practical point of view also. He has been following this principle that whenever the car fuel indicator comes to the middle, you fill it up again. Listen, whenever it comes to the middle, means half tank only is full, and say this is the time to fill it up again. But many of us, what do we do? We leave it till the E. Sometimes, you know, you are so worried, you do not know what to do. This is a crisis that we have put ourselves into. So Arjuna has put himself into this crisis. The situation, war, turned into a crisis to Arjuna. It was because of his madness, his wrong thinking. Many of us do this. World has its own challenges that it will give us many times. But we will convert that into a crisis because of our lack of thinking. So it is, how has this dejection come upon you in a crisis unworthy of an Arya? When we are straightforward, upright in life, immediate benefit we get is peace of mind. Peace of mind. But we will try to justify. Somebody asked me, I think here only you are in the class. When somebody says something in anger, a lot of times you say, I said that in anger. So you should not take that seriously. But I have a different take on that. If somebody is saying something out of anger, then I think he said what he has been keeping in his subconscious. Okay. Because many times what happens, when we are functioning in life, we are functioning as hypocrites, consciously trying to hide the actual feelings. Then say, hello, please come. Inside you are thinking, just now I was thinking of going out and this fellow has come. But outside you are saying, please come, wait here. But if there is a child in that home, child will blur it up. So in the sense, child can sleep peacefully. We were also sleeping peacefully when we were children. Now suddenly when we have become adults, What has happened? We have lost that straightforwardness. Think about it. It's in many areas. So, unworthy of an Aryan, attaining neither heaven. So this contradictory viewpoint given by Krishna is only to make Arjuna recast his thinking. It's like in an office, final sanction needs to be given by the chairman. But before that, the paper goes to everybody. Right? For example, if you go to the finance ministry or any ministry, finally the finance ministry has to approve it. So you'll see so many people saying okay, okay, and all that. Finally it can come to the minister and he may say, you said it. Or, for these reasons, I don't think so, you had analyzed it from this angle. Again, analyze it from this angle. Then what happened? Again, from the bottom. Isn't it? This is exactly what Krishna is doing. It is anarya. It's a wrong place, wrong time, wrong action. Not give you heaven also. If you are doing good actions, you may develop some punya, that punya will take you to heaven. Now this will not give you punya also. Punya is nothing but unseen good effects, positive effects. Unseen negative effects, bad effects are called as pap. When you do an action, there are results, positive, negative, seen, unseen. Many of us only know the seen, positive, negative results. But the scriptures tell us that there are unseen, positive, negative results. So in Vedanta, in Sanskrit language also, there is no equal term or word for the English word luck. There is no such thing as luck in life, according to Vedanta. It is all result of your karma, actions. Same efforts put in by two individuals, getting two different results. Vedanta says it's because of their punya papa karma.
Same action.
By two individuals.
Yeah.
Sometimes get two different results. Punya papa karma, whatever that is. You have written the exam very well, but the person who has come to correct your paper fought with his wife on that day. So, it's your unfortunate situation, isn't it? So, he never gave you 100 out of 100. There is another guy who had been blessed with grandson or something, so he is very happy. So, he is a little lenient when he corrects. You are put into such situation. Later on, you can still correct it by going for re-evaluation and all that, but you have to go through all those things. You understand? So, the thing is, there is no such thing as luck. What we sow, we reap. So Krishna is clearly telling Arjuna, this is not going to give you the unseen positive results. Okay, now you renounce and physical seen result is you will be in forest. as a prince, he will be going and suffering in the forest. Okay, Arjuna is saying, I don't mind going through that difficulty. Seen result may be negative, but he is indirectly saying, unseen result will be punya. Here Krishna is telling, Are, unseen result also will be negative. You will not go to heaven. This will not give you heaven. So, in every sense, he disapproves what Arjuna is trying to do. And he continues, Klaibhyam Masmagam Apartha, Klaibhyam Masmagam Apartha, Naitadvayupapadhyate, Naitadvayupapadhyate, Shudram Hridayadhaur Bhalyam, Shudram Hridayadhaur Bhalyam, Tattvotishta Parantapa, Tattvotishta Parantapa, Klaibhyam Masmagam Apartha, Naitadvayupapadhyate, Shudram Hridayadhaur Bhalyam, Tattvotishta Parantapa. Klaibhyam means weak mind. Yield not to unmanliness, pusillanimity. O Partha, O son of Pritha, another name of Kunti. So Partha here means son of Kunti, Kunti Putra Arjuna. It does not befit you. You have always behaved with bravery, straightforwardness. This doesn't befit you. Yield not to unmanliness. See, this should not be taken, especially everybody here is a woman, so I know only a few are from the women's liberation and all that. It's not as though Krishna is against women, so you say unmanly. You must understand many things in Gita. Not only I'm cautioning you, he talks about feminine and masculine qualities. It's not something to do with man or a woman. Okay. So, cowardice. Here he is talking. He's saying, a papa does not befit you. So he says, casting off this mean weakness of the heart, arise, O Parantapa. Parantapa, again. Parantapa means what? Scorcher of foes. Scorcher of foes. Who sets the enemies on fire. Just mentioning the name of Arjuna, the opponents get so scared. They used to shiver. Now here the scenario is different. He is shivering. He said, my knees have become weak. I am not able to stand. In verse number 30, chapter 1, he says that. The case is always been that the opponents shiver when they hear that Arjuna is coming to fight. Now here this fellow is shivering. So he says, this is not because the weather outside has gone bad, therefore you are shivering. The problem is you are shivering because inside weather has gone bad. That is why he says, casting off this mean weakness of the heart. Krishna straight away comes to the point. He says, the world as it is absolutely okay. If you want to sharpen the knife, the sharpening stone must be rough. But if you do not know the art of contacting the knife with the sharpening stone, you will make it more blunt. And then blame the stone for being rough. It is not the fault of the stone. It is your fault because you did not know, you did not have the knowledge of contacting a knife with the stone. Life has to be tera mera. There has to be ups and downs. Joy, sorrow, heat, cold, honor, dishonor. This is how life will be. So he says, cast off this mean weakness of the heart now. Come out clear and straight now. What's your problem? And Krishna, he himself being a straightforward person and Arjuna's close friend. Remember, Arjuna has not yet surrendered. So Krishna is not a guru here. Krishna is speaking because he is a close friend. And another thing we learn here is, Krishna would have said, okay, chalo, this fellow doesn't want to fight, let us go away. Why waste our time? A friend's duty is not to please the other friend, but do what is good for the other friend in the context. So in a relationship also between husband and wife, children, parents, any context, you should do what is good for the other person in a pleasing way. But many relationships don't survive because each one is trying to please the other. When you keep on pleasing the other, the expectation of the other goes much higher. And there will come a time when you will not be able to please beyond a certain limit. Then it will break. So here Krishna clearly comes out and tells him, what you are doing is wrong. You are physically a man, but inside you are functioning like a coward. Functioning like a coward. And to tell a kshatriya that he is a coward, not when he is without weapons, when he is with weapons, you don't tell him, you are a coward, you cannot come back alive. To say that, you need to be much more strong. That's what Krishna is saying here. And also he is saying, you are a parantapa man. Sitting and crying like this doesn't go together. And you would have heard this sentence many times by many people, like, for example, from Vivekananda also says, awake, arise, and stop not till the goal is reached. Now when he says, awake, arise, and stop not till the goal is reached, is he talking to people who are sleeping? If he is talking to people who are already awake, then why is he saying awake? I'm wasting one word. Act with awareness. What does that mean? It only is trying to tell us, he's trying to tell us that we are all functioning like people in somnambulism, in sleep, like sleepwalking. Somnambulism, you know. So here also he says, arise, O Parantapa, means don't be like a drowsy fellow. Yes. Sleepy here. Wake up to the context. What is the context? In the context, on the battlefield, the context of a battlefield, you're sitting and looking at your relatives. Once you're on the battlefield, all your personal things should have been kept away. You know? You go to the temple, you leave your chappals outside. Once you go to the battlefield, you leave your personal desires outside. Don't take that with you. So, you know, even in success, when you go to some other state or country to live there, who will be successfully able to live there? One who adapts to that country, that state. Other fellows are constantly afflicted. I can't eat this, I can't eat that. Then you have to carry the whole thing, then everything has to go. Taking such people with you when you go to such places is a big torture for you only. because they cannot just adjust about. So there is casting off this mean weakness of the heart. The weakness is within you, man. Don't blame the world outside. Look within. Turn within and see. Cast off this mean weakness of the heart and arise. Wake up. Like the dog, when it wakes up every day morning, if you see, it just go like this, right? Shrug its body. Why? All the laziness, all the dust that has been collected. So he's saying, your thinking has been shrouded. Shake up. Throw away all this nonsense. Come straight. Kleibya. To say this to Arjuna, he's telling us, whatever may be the situation, if you are a friend, if you are a guide, you must be ready to say the truth. Whoever it is. That is what spirituality will do to you. Never give up the truth. Of course, you explain that, say the truth in a pleasing way, as much as possible. Also depends on the scenario. Here the situation is, house is on fire. So he has to sting him to make him come out of tamas. Na etat tvai upapadyate. This is not fitting to you. You are trying to be a spoiled sport in the world. You know, in many organizations, everybody has to function as a team. Everybody has some positive, negative, whatever it is, but they have to function as a team. There may be people in a team who are extremely talented, but highly egoistic. Now, would you retain that person because he is extremely talented? Or would you say bye-bye to him because he is extremely arrogant? What will you do if you happen to be in the HR of that organization? Depend on the project need.
Yeah.
Skill is relatively easier to develop than attitude. Skill is relatively easier to develop than attitude. A little poison in the milk, even if it's a drop, the milk turns poisonous. And to achieve anything, you need a team, not just an individual. For many years, the Indian team had players in both bowling, I'm talking about Indian cricket team, both bowling and batting, you would find in the top 10 at least 2-3 people. Top 10 batsmen, 2-3 Indian cricketers will be there. Top 10 bowlers, some 2-3 cricketers. But when it comes to the team, we were somewhere in 5th or 6th. Right? Some of the teams, which were in number 1, number 2, whatever it is, they might not have any player or one player in the top 10 bowler batsman category. Now, what do we understand from this? You need to coach that person who is egoistic, try to slowly change his attitude. But beyond a point, this is a thorn that has got embedded in the flesh. It needs to be removed if he continues to have that attitude. I've seen this happening in many organizations. They say he was, as far as his skill is concerned, he was a great asset. But as far as his attitude is concerned, he's a liability. And not only that, he will slowly poison the rest. slowly looking at him, then they say, I will also do like that. You know, the thing becomes difficult to manage it. So, you need to stand up and correct it. Now, Krishna here stands up and says, this is your inner weakness. Don't give me all these justifications. Straight away comes to the point and says, it's within you, not without. So remember these two verses, very famous verses. Kutastva kashmalamidam, vishame samvipastitam, anarya jushtam, ashwadyam, akirtikaramachu, klaibyam masmadam appata, naitad vayu papadyate, shudram vayadavaryam, chattva tishtapanita, uttishta uttishta. Wake up, wake up, wake up means the problem in life is you may be acting, walking, but you are walking as a sleepwalker, not with full awareness. You need to develop the inner awareness totally. Without developing the inner awareness, whatever skill, whatever educational qualifications you may gain externally, you will in some point in time of life fall into the same situation which Arjuna fell into. Arjuna had the skill. He had everything. He had experience, skill. Krishna on his side. Dharma on his side. Still he fell into nonsense. So therefore, throw away this pusillanimity. Wake up. Stand up and fight. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.